Now, I want to just remind you of a item last night on UTV Live Tonight with Judith. Here's a report. This has got to do with community relations and the flying of flags and the countdown to the 11th night and the 12th. Here's just a reminder of this report.
Summertime on Belfast's Ormo Road, and once again, the flags that fly above people's heads, an issue. Their appearance along this main arterial route into the city has caused anger. Well, last year, police said they would treat the erection of flags in this mixed area as a breach of the peace, although they did clarify they would only intervene in extreme circumstances. But this year, they're being accused of doing a U-turn.
I suspect they know who put these flags up. I suspect they know what groups or organisations they represent. And inaction, sitting on their hands, is denting confidence in the PSNI and is undermining support for the PSNI. And they really need to get their act together.
I don't see it as a change of tack. I need to look at every set of circumstances, particularly around flags, within their own merits. And that's what we will do. Ultimately, we will intervene to keep people safe. But that's only if there's a very serious public safety issue.
The Ormo Road is one of Belfast's most socially diverse areas, but the DUP argue those raising this issue are being confrontational.
People who are different in terms of culture and identity should have the space to celebrate their culture and identity, and that's what's happening during the months of July and August for the unionist community. They celebrate the unionist tradition during those months, and I think that people that are choosing to make political capital out of this issue and are trying to ramp up confrontation need to take a step back.
Police insist it's a dispute for the local community to resolve, but want politicians to clarify legislation. So in the absence of a big picture agreement, some fear this row will be a recurring one here in South Belfast and elsewhere.
That's Judith, Judith Hill on UTV Live Tonight. Last night, the police officer you heard speaking was Nigel Grimshaw from the PSNI, and the DUP representative, Christopher Stalford, the man objecting to the flags, was Sinn Féin's Máirtín O'Mullier. I want to speak to Peter Osborne, the chair of the Community Relations Council here in Northern Ireland, who's available to speak to us. And indeed, not talking about that generally, just flags, that issue solely, but talking about the wider concept of really relationships within the community at this present moment in time on a hot July day. Mr. Osborne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, Peter. The Community Relations Council calling for everyone in Northern Ireland to exercise their influence, anyone who has influence indeed, to ensure a peaceful summer for the sake of local communities and indeed for the sake of the future. This whole idea of marking out your territory is one of the hurdles, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think that, you know, the flags in the Ormo Road or flags elsewhere are seen by many people as intimidating. I heard people talk about flags going up and damaging community relations. About you could also look at it in terms of other people's property. You could look at it in terms of criminal damage, I suppose, in some ways as well. Of course, people have the right to express their culture, but it needs to be within the law, and it needs to be done in a way that doesn't intimidate other people. I mean, I tend to look at also things like murals, and many of the murals I would have no issue with, but when it comes to, for example, masked gunmen on murals on the side of walls of public property, sometimes housing executive or DRD or others, I think we really need to lower our tolerance of that sort of thing, because it can be intimidating, it demarcates territory, and it doesn't do any good for good community relations here.
Is there a prime difference between the Union flag, the Ulster flag, and the UVF and other paramilitary flags that are up? Because in the Ormond Road area, tends to be the Ulster flag, the Union flag, that are flying on practically every lamppost. But the UVF flags are more centred in other parts of Belfast, and my oh my, they're up en masse this year.
Well, there is a difference, of course. I mean, one is looking, one is representing, I suppose, a prescribed organisation. One is clearly seen as being associated with an organisation that is illegal, that is deemed as a paramilitary organisation, and that is obviously very different from a national flag. I think the issue for the national flag is obviously respecting the flag, and that includes respecting it from those people who put it up and maybe leave it up in a way that it becomes very torn and looks awful. But also using a national flag in a way of sending a message out to others, which can be hostile in how it's perceived. There isn't anything, there isn't an issue around the national flag as such, obviously, but it is about how it is used in certain occasions in certain places that becomes an issue with it. And I think people who do that need to reflect themselves about whether they are respecting the Union flag or a national flag or an Irish flag or whatever, the one that is put up. And I think that is very different, obviously, in terms of national flag to a prescribed organisation, absolutely.
Where are we with community relations in the hotter areas at this moment? Can you sense the angst bubbling, ready to boil come the absolute cut and thrust of the marching season? Or are you a little more hopeful? I was looking at some YouTube footage put up by a man from the Shankill Road, which had been filmed on one of the interfaces, and it clearly showed what he believed were nationalist youths throwing stones at a house where a guy used his phone to film what was happening inside the Protestant house. And you saw the peace wall outside, or the barrier or whatever it was outside. You could see the guys through it if you slowed the footage down. And it looked like as if, you know, people were getting a real sense of being under attack from thugs. Do you think is it sheer thuggery? Is it sectarian hatred? Or is it just the timing of July that this is when they do it?
Well, I haven't seen that incident specifically. At this time of year, I think tensions do rise. I think people are aware of the past here, of the last decades, and what can happen around this time of year. There obviously are a number of events that happen publicly during the whole of the summer on either side of the community, where people also know that these things can be viewed in a certain way or be problematic at certain times as well. I think it's important also to say there are many very significant cultural events here that are very positive events. A lot of the parades happen very peacefully and are real exhibits of what can work and work well. I mean, I remember going up to Derry, Londonderry, with some of the Apprentice Boys parades in August, being hugely impressed by the way they mark the occasion, historic occasion of the closing of the walls and of the relief of the siege and so on. So there are a lot of very positive things, but also people are aware of the recent past and how things can go badly wrong here. I think what I would stress is there are really good relationships in many across the community in many areas, not just in Northern Ireland as a whole, in Belfast as well. An awful lot of hard work goes on to create and sustain those very positive relationships, and it's important that over the summer they don't take damage, that there aren't backward steps in how those relationships are actually making life better for people on both sides of a community divide. And that's why that hard work that communities undertake year on year, I think, needs to be acknowledged even more than it does. But it is about people putting even more time over the summer to try to make sure that we keep it peaceful and we preserve those good positive relationships. I think a concern I would have in a more major way, apart from the immediate of hopefully keeping things peaceful over the summer, is that we are making some progress at taking down the physical infrastructure of conflict. There's an awful lot more work needed to be done in peace walls, but in many ways some of those physical look of Northern Ireland that we had 20 years ago is different now. What we need to make sure is that we don't allow the reconciliation infrastructure to be eroded, those organisations working on the ground to develop better relationships, which ultimately will be hugely important in the long term as we move forward in a more peaceful way in this place. And I see community groups under an awful lot of pressure. I know community groups that are going out of business who would have been central in their area to building those relationships and to helping keep areas peaceful. They're going out of business, and if they're not there, I'm not sure where that community infrastructure is going to be to pick up the pieces to create relationships, to sustain relationships. We need to preserve and strengthen the reconciliation infrastructure as we start to dismantle the physical infrastructure of conflict.
You talk about the physical infrastructure of conflict, the peace walls in particular. Peter, we're both middle-aged men. If we're going to get our 3 score and 10, we're unlikely to see peace walls down in Belfast.
Well, the executive set a target of getting them all down by 2023. I mean, I've said it in the past, I'm not sure that'll happen.
I'm absolutely certain it won't happen. I've no problem saying that. In 2023, my daughter graduated yesterday and had a great day at university, and her wee friends were graduating too, that some of whom I remember from they were kids. It's the blink of an eye. It's 10 years ago when they used to do their 11 plus and play around our house, and they were graduating. We're talking about 10 years from now, peace walls down. It's the blink of an eye. It simply simply will not happen. Anyone who's saying it's going to happen is pulling their leg.
Well, you know, one of the things I would refer to sometimes is the speech that Martin Luther King made in 1963, you know, I Have a Dream speech. But part of that isn't just about the issues of black and white kids walking down the street hand in hand, or people being judged by the content of their character rather than the colour of their skin. He also referred in that speech to the fact that whether you're white or black in the United States, you cannot walk alone if you are going to resolve these issues, that it is about people understanding that their futures are linked together. And if we're going to resolve our futures here together, we need to understand that as well, that we need to talk to each other, we need to understand each other, develop those relationships, and then we will resolve those issues. But over 50 years after that speech in the United States, while in many areas black and white kids can walk hand in hand down the road, there are significant social and economic issues and differences and inequalities between people from different backgrounds. But there are clearly continues to be very big issues around racism and attitudes that people have to each other. That's 50 years on from that speech. It takes decades to deal with relationships like that. And in an area like Northern Ireland that has come out of, 30 years of really bitter communal conflict, it will take decades for us to improve relationships to such an extent where we really can, with confidence, do things like take down all of the peace walls. So I agree. I think we need to understand this is a long-term fix. We will not get down the peace walls, I think, by 2023. Not all of them. We'll make some more progress. There hasn't been enough so far. But it will take decades to improve relationships to such an extent where we can take all of those peace walls down. And we need to understand that, because we cannot say we have delivered peace within a period of a few years. We will have delivered a peaceful, reconciled society in a period of decades. And we need to continue to keep our minds in that, and we need to continue to understand we need to resource that work. We need to continue to understand we cannot be indifferent or complacent about the process that we're in. We need to keep an eye on it continually. That includes in weeks over the summer, in the intense work that people do within communities, but it also includes long-term strategic work with government and other people in civil society to do what they need to do over decades. Some people think that's a negative message, that it will take decades. It's a realistic message. That is what that's the time frame we will need to work to in order to develop the relationships in the way that we will want to have them developed.
And just finally, Peter, is it make or break with the likes of Twaddell Avenue, or is too much emphasis put on that particular hotspot?
Well, Twaddell Avenue is a local area in a part of Belfast, in a part of Northern Ireland. I think in a local area, the importance is that there is local dialogue, that people build those relationships again, that they have the motivation to find an agreement, that there is leadership around civil society and politically to make a deal happen and then make it work afterwards. In 2012, both sides came quite close to finding an agreement. I think an agreement is possible there, but I think people obviously need to work at it very hard, need to get properly supported in doing that. I'm an optimist always. I think we can resolve the Ardoyne situation, but it does need people on both sides of the community to understand their roles and then be supported by other people in civil society and political leadership as well.
Peter Osborne, thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.